About a year after Dave died, I was at work when my cell phone buzzed. An old friend was calling, and since nobody calls anyone anymore, I figured it must be important. It was. My friend had horrible news about a young woman she mentors. A few days earlier, the young woman had gone to a birthday party, and as she was leaving, she noticed that a coworker needed a ride home. Since he lived nearby, she offered to drop him off. When they arrived, he pulled out a weapon, forced her inside, and raped her. The young woman went to the hospital for a rape kit exam and then reported the attack to the police. Now my friend was looking for ways to provide comfort and knew I'd met this young woman, so she asked if I would talk with her and offer support. As I dialed her number, I felt nervous about whether I'd be able to help someone recover from something so violent. But as I listened to her, I realized some of what I'd learned about overcoming grief might resonate with her, too. We plant the seeds of resilience in the ways we process negative events. After spending decades studying how people deal with setbacks, psychologist Martin Seligman found that three P's can stunt recovery. 1. Personalization, the belief that we are at fault. 2. Pervasiveness, the belief that an event will affect all areas of our life. And 3. Permanence, the belief that the aftershocks of the event will last forever. The three P's play like the flip side of the pop song, "Everything is awesome, everything is awful." The loop in your head repeats, "It's my fault this is awful. My whole life is awful, and it's always going to be awful." Hundreds of studies have shown that children and adults recover more quickly when they realize that hardships aren't entirely their fault, don't affect every aspect of their lives, and won't follow them everywhere forever. Recognizing that negative events aren't personal, pervasive, or permanent makes people less likely to get depressed and better able to cope. Not falling into the trap of the three P's helped teachers in urban and rural schools. They were more effective in the classroom, and their students did better academically. It helped college varsity swimmers who underperformed in a race. Their heart rates spiked less, and they went on to improve their times. And it helped insurance salespeople in difficult jobs. When they didn't take rejections personally and remembered that they could approach new prospects tomorrow, they sold more than twice as much and stayed in the job twice as long as their colleagues. On my call with the young woman, at first I just listened as she described how she felt violated, betrayed, angry, and scared. Then she started blaming herself, saying it was her fault for giving her colleague a ride home. I encouraged her to stop personalizing the attack. Rape is never the victim's fault, and offering a coworker a ride was a completely reasonable thing to do. I stressed that not everything that happens to us happens because of us. Then I brought up the two other P's, pervasiveness and permanence. We talked about all the good in other areas of her life, and I encouraged her to think about how the despair would feel less acute with time. Recovering from rape is an incredibly difficult and complicated process that differs for everyone. Evidence suggests that it's common for rape victims to blame themselves and feel hopeless about the future. Those who can break this pattern are at lower risk of depression and post-traumatic stress. A few weeks later, the young woman called to tell me that with her cooperation, the state was moving forward with prosecuting the rapist. She said she thought about the three P's every day, and the advice had made her feel better. It had made me feel better, too. I'd fall.